Welcome to an audio reading of Pieces of Iowa's Past. This publication, issued by the Iowa State Capitol Tour Guides of the Legislative Services Agency weekly during the legislative session, features historical facts about Iowa, the Capitol, and the early workings of state government. Portions of each article may have items not practicable for oral interpretation. To see all accompanying photographs, select journal pages, portions of bills, newspaper articles, and other graphics, please view the hard copy versions at www.legis.iowa.gov and select the Resources and Civic Educations tab.
Pieces of Iowa's Past. This week, examining the eights, voting rights for women, February 13, 2019. This year begins the 88th Iowa General Assembly. This fifth Pieces of Iowa's Past article will briefly examine the work of the 38th General Assembly. The 38th General Assembly convened for 97 days from January 13th through April 19, 1919. Lieutenant Governor Ernest Moore presided over the Senate, and Arch McFarlane was the Speaker of the House. Iowa's population had grown to 2,404,021 people, according to the 1920 census. William Harding was governor, serving two terms from 1917 to 1921. A special session of the 38th General Assembly convened at 10 a.m. on July 2, 1919. The legislature adjourned the same day at noon. The special session convened for the purpose of ratifying the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution, allowing women the right to vote. Iowa was the 10th state to approve the amendment. There were 158 legislators in the 38th General Assembly, with 144 members voting to ratify the 19th Amendment. Of the 50 Senate members, there were 48 who voted for ratifying the amendment and two absent or not voting. Of the 108 House members, 96 voted for ratification and 5 voted against. There were 7 House members absent or not voting. On May 21, 1919, the 19th Amendment passed the United States House of Representatives with the necessary two-thirds majority vote. On June 4, 1919, it was approved by two-thirds majority vote in the United States Senate and sent to the states for ratification. Tennessee became the 36th state to ratify the amendment on August 18, 1920, giving the 19th Amendment the two-thirds majority of state ratification necessary to make it part of the United States Constitution. A certified record of the Tennessee legislature was sent to Washington, D.C., arriving early on August 26, 1920. That morning, U.S. Secretary of State Bainbridge Colby signed the record at his home in Washington. No photographs were taken, and no motion picture cameras recorded the event. The following is Governor Harding's message regarding this special session, July 2, 1919. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the 38th General Assembly, Section 2, Article 4 of the Constitution of Iowa provides that he, the governor, may on extraordinary occasions convene the General Assembly by proclamation and shall state to both houses when assembled the purpose for which they shall have been convened. Pursuant to such authority granted, I have deemed it wise to convene you as a legislature in extra and special session for the purpose of submitting to you for your consideration and action the proposed amendment to the federal constitution extending to women the right of suffrage throughout the whole United States on an equality with men. The 66th Congress of the United States, at its first session, complying with the provisions both of the federal constitution and statutes, has proposed an amendment to the constitution concerning the right of women to vote. This is a vitally important question for the whole country, and one that ought to be settled one way or the other at an early date. It is important to the country, for if the franchise is to be given to women, it should be known at an early date. In a representative form of government like ours, where officers are chosen because of their position on great public questions, to increase the vote of the country by practically 100% is a step so vital that it is but fair that all know of the change in sufficient time before the next election. It is important to the women to know whether they are to have the ballot, for they are entitled to time in which to adjust themselves to the exercise of the franchise right. The submission of this proposed amendment at this time to this General Assembly in extra and special session is within the constitutional provision of an extraordinary occasion. Just as a matter of simple justice to one half of the citizens of this country, Congress, having acted upon this important subject and submitted it to the states, the constituted authority within the state should pass upon it at once. It will not be my purpose, nor do I think it necessary, to enter into a lengthy discussion on this occasion of the importance of immediate favorable action on this proposed amendment to the federal constitution by the legally constituted authority of the state of Iowa. The principle involved in the proposed amendment is not new. For the past 25 years, it has been debated both from the platform and in the press, until there are not now very many left who have not formed a definite opinion as to the right or wrong of the principle of amending the Constitution so that sex will no longer be a test of the right to vote. The question to be decided and settled is whether or not this country is longer to have as a part of the fundamental law as a test for voting the sex of the citizen. The proposed amendment removes the sex test for voting, and Congress is given authority to enforce the provision with proper legislation. Once already, the federal constitution has been amended, affecting the vote of the citizen by providing that the right of the citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. The thought of the 15th Amendment just referred to was to so fix the fundamental law of the country that a condition such as race, color, or previous condition of servitude over which the citizen had no control should not be a barrier to the right to vote. The 15th Amendment to the Constitution was made after the Great Civil War. It was the result of deep conviction on the part of the people after great sacrifice had been made for humanity and representative government. This proposed amendment here submitted for your consideration is designed to remove a constitutional barrier to voting over which the citizen affected has no control. We have just now emerged from a great world war in which supreme sacrifice has been made by all citizens, regardless of sex. And there seems to be a settled conviction that another progressive step should be taken in enlarging the rights and responsibilities of one half of the citizens of the country by removing a barrier over which citizens have no control, and one which the years have demonstrated is not a just test of the right to vote. There can be no comparison between the mental ability of the citizens enfranchised by the 15th Amendment and those to be enfranchised under the proposed amendment. Those enfranchised by the 15th Amendment had just emerged from slavery, and even then no harm came to representative government, while those to be enfranchised under the proposed amendment are at least the mental and moral equals of those already entitled to the franchise. With the sex barrier removed, we can then proceed to make new standards for voting that will affect all the citizens alike and place an added value on the franchise right of suffrage. I am herewith submitting to you the copy of the joint resolution numbered 3763, passed by the 66th Congress, which was on the 12th day of June 1919, signed and transmitted to me by the Honorable Frank L. Polk, Acting Secretary of State of the United States. The seal of the Department of State is affixed to said copy.